Well, again, good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath. I know our sermon title today is The Goodness of God, or you could say it, God is Good. And there's a phrase we use oftentimes, God is good all the time. We'll get into that a little bit as time goes on. There's a very, very specific reason why I chose to talk about the goodness of God, mainly because He is good. But secondly, He has shown me what it is, what it means, how God is good, and that He's always active in our lives to show us that. We may not see it, we may not understand it, what we're going through. We may be going through some trials and difficulties and situations that we say, why? You know, why do I have to go through this? We don't see the goodness of God. We look a little bit deeper and look to in the past how He has led us, we will soon see how God is good. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we ask that You will draw especially close to us now as we open Your precious word. Father, may our hearts and minds be open to Your leading, to Your guidance, to Your calling in our lives. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there are actually people in this world, there's preachers in this world out there who believe that, you know, everything you need for a victorious life is to look within yourself and find the good that is in you. But they never, ever mention Jesus or God. But Jesus said, have faith in God. Everybody say it with me together. Have faith in God. Let's say it again. Have faith in God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 says this, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Now we've heard that text many times before. It's actually, I believe it's a song, it's a hymn. Now, Paul wrote, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Now, the key here is, you know whom you have believed in. It doesn't say, I know about God or I believe in God. It says, I know the one that I have believed. It's personal. It's a personal relationship. And the second point here is, He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. What have you entrusted to Him? Like, what actually have you entrusted to God? Your faith. Your faith. Whatever He has said to you, whatever He has promised you in His word, whatever you have believed Him for, are we convinced? And because I have entrusted my faith to Him, I don't have to worry about anything. I don't have to worry about cancer. I don't have to worry about heart disease. I don't have to worry about poverty. I don't have to worry about dangers that might be lurking around the corners. I don't have to worry about oppression. I don't have to worry about battles. I don't even have to worry about the enemy. Now, let me stop there. Do we worry about these things? Yes, we do. There's definite time frames in our lives that we worry about these things. But the Bible text is clear. I know in whom I have believed. I know who I believe. And it's in those dark times, because we all face them, the dark times, that we reach forth and say to God, I know You, God. I know You, Jesus. I know who I believe. It's faith. And why can we believe in God anyway? There's a lot of atheists out there. There's a lot of people that claim there's no such thing as a God, or they try to marginalize God or take away the benefits of God. Why do we believe? Well, I believe because God loves me. That's the root of it all. God loves me and God loves you. And because of this one characteristic that prevails over all of us, God is good. Let's turn to our scripture reading again this morning, Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, if you have your Bibles with you. And if not, you can write down these texts and we can go through them. But Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 28, we're going to get a little glimpse about why and how God is actually this good. And Paul is writing here, and if anyone would know the goodness of God, who would it be? Paul, right? And we know Paul's history. We won't get into too much of it, but Paul was once called Saul, and Saul was a persecutor. Saul hated God. No, that's not true. Saul hated Christians. Saul loved God, but it was misguided. Saul was a devout Jew. He thought he was going about doing good by putting these people in prison, putting them to death. But he had a conversion on the road to Damascus, didn't he? And what did Jesus say to him? Why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me? And Saul said, who am I persecuting? You're persecuting me, Jesus, God. So he had a conversion. Now, Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, this verse does not say that God causes bad things to happen in your life. How often is God accused of bringing bad upon people? Almost all the time. If something bad happens in someone's life, they blame God. You know, if there were such a thing as a loving God, this wouldn't happen. Have you heard that before? I have. What it does say, though, is that even when bad things happen to his children, he will turn it around and make something good come out of it. Now, I can testify to this. Why does God work all things for good? Because he is good. Is there such a thing as bad God? No such thing, is it? But I can testify here how he can turn things around. So I'm going to have a little testimony here. You've heard some of it before, some of you haven't. And I'm just going to go from my thoughts. A few years back, as you know, my wife Stephanie got cancer, aggressive cancer, and it was horrific. There was nothing good about it when it comes to the physical part of it. But there are many things that go to happen along the way. Even during that process that Stephanie had to go through with her treatments and then palliative and at the end of her life. Some of those things were this. Friends would come and share uplifting things with her. She could go out into her garden and enjoy she loved gardening, so she could go out there, and that was one thing that made her very, very happy. Having her kids around her made her very happy too. And what I distinctly remember about palliative is that she was actually at peace in palliative. Literally, she had peace and comfort, and she was assured that everything was going to be okay, even though she knew she was going to die. And that impacted me greatly because I saw faith in action. That's what I saw. And then we had people, church members and people come in and visit. And I'll never forget it for as long as I live. You know, you come into that room and, you know, there'd be hymns being sung. And you could hear it all over the floor. Everyone was, you know, singing hymns and praising God. Jane and Amy came in one time, not long before she died. I think it was a couple of days before, maybe even the day before. And they gave her a massage. And they bathed her. You know something? That's Christ in action. That is love. You know, it is. You can't define God's love any better than that. You know? And then, just before she died, I remember asking her, you know, are you at peace with your life, with God? And she said, yes, I'm ready. And that was powerful. It really is. There's a lot of people that go through these things, and they don't have God in their lives. And I find that such a travesty. I really do. To have to die not knowing where you're headed or what the future beholds. That's got to be a terrible way to go. It really is. And then recently, Pearl's really good friend, Cynthia Butt, and I had the privilege of sharing in the funeral. And there was a woman of God too. You know, she didn't believe exactly as we believed, but she trusted in God. And I tell you, what that woman went through was unbelievable. You have no idea. You know, but the faith she had, it was progressive disease, and it took her life. And eventually, she went from not being able to walk right, not being able to move her hands right, and ultimately, she couldn't speak. Almost, I sort of compare it to Lou Gehrig disease. It's not the same disease, but it's similar, because you're entrapped in your body. You can't speak. You can't even try. And at the end of it, she couldn't even. She used to write on her hand. Pearl could understand everything she wrote, but I'd never be able to do that because I wasn't with her all day long. But what I witnessed in her life, and it didn't matter, and Pearl can testify to this, what she went through, didn't matter what she faced, she gave God all the glory. She praised God. And if you went through her Facebook post, all you could see, about, it was positive things about God. It was never anything negative, you know. And so that, to me, is a testimony of how God is good. You know, and that has to do with faith. Right? And, of course, we know faith without works is dead. And, you know, just a person's life is a testimony to that. Fast forward. I remember when Stephanie died and the subsequent days and weeks and months that followed. And I felt alone in the world. Not that my kids weren't with me. It's hard to me to define this. The house was full, but on a personal level, when you lose your spouse, you lose a part of yourself. Correct? You do. Pearl can say the same thing. She lost her husband Dave through a stroke, and there's a struggle goes on during those times when your spouse passes away, especially when you've been together for a long time. There's an emptiness and there's a void that can't be filled by anyone, only God. Only God can fill that void. You know, you can fill your life up with all kinds of things, all kinds of people, even all kinds of family, but it's only God that can fill that immense void that you experience. And it's hard to explain unless you go through it. But I know each and every one here will go through it at some point. They will. And my only counsel to you when that happens is, one, to trust in the faith that God has given you. And secondly, lean on people. Lean on people, for it's in those really good friends and family that can get you through those tough times. Fast forward a little bit. And you all know the story of how myself and Pearl met. I think you do. And but suffice it to say, it was a miracle, because God said to Jane, I'm going to try to summarize this very quickly. God summarized, gave to Jane a seed to plant in my mind, that she thought Pearl was a wonderful lady and would be a good fit for me. So Jane, as we know, Jane's a matchmaker. Jane, you're probably listening, so, you know. But she knows that anyway. She knows that anyway. And at the time, I said, yeah, I hear you, but, you know, I'm not ready. And that was that. And but it was through Willow, who has cancer, a little girl, just turning 5, right? In October. And that's a miracle in itself. No one thought in a million years that Willow would live as long as she has lived. The doctors only gave her 6 to 18 months to live, and that was a long time ago. She's still here, battling. Now, there's been some setbacks, but she's still here, and God is good. And I've seen Willow's fundraiser come up on Facebook feed, and Pearl had made a comment, and it triggered that. That triggered my memory about Jane. Said, that Pearl. I said, that's Pearl Penny. So that must be the same Pearl. So then I started going down through. And so at the end of the day, we met through Willow. And then when I first met her, first met Pearl, I don't know if I said, this is the woman I'm going to live with for the rest of my life, or this is the woman I'm going to marry, but I tell you, the darkness in my brain dispelled. And I saw an individual, what a beautiful person. A really beautiful heart and soul, beautiful person, beautiful woman. And so we got to talking and had a few dates, and I won't tell you about the date at the Chinese restaurant, but no, I can't go down that road, but it was an interesting date. And but all these things was a progression in my life and Pearl's life of how God is good. And he performed many, many, I call them, there's no such thing as a mini or major miracle, really, but they're all miracles. But I'll just phrase it that way. He performed many, many, many miracles along the way. Because if he had not have performed those many, many miracles along the way, we would not be together. We would not be together. And Pearl has laid out to me, you know, there's a few things that she prayed for with God, to God, and when she was ready to perhaps look for a partner or a friend, and she said, God, send me someone. She said, I'm not going looking for anyone. Send me someone who has the same faith as I do, you know, that believes in the same way I am, that doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, doesn't do all those things, and doesn't basically do the worldly things. And you know, maybe a man who's already raised their kids and kids are on their own and that type of thing. Well, God answered her prayer. He didn't answer the prayer about the kids. The kids are not on their own. But, that being said, I said to her, I said, well, God answered your prayer because he knew that you love kids. And she does. She loves kids a lot. And the kids have loved her with all their heart, and she loves them. And that's a miracle too. Now, you think about it. I'm not digressing. This is part of the sermon. You think about it. What if you were to meet someone like us, and they had four kids, and you're going to be intimidated, right? You're going to say, okay, there's four kids here. Are they all going to like me? Is there going to be someone who's going to buck against this? Right? That's the train of thought. You have four kids, so chances are one is going to buck against that system or that whole process. And in this case, no one did. Everyone got to know Pearl and thought she was the cat's meow. And, of course, I do too, you know, just a little bit. So that was a miracle in itself. And then, you know, the next miracles performed by God were, okay, so how are we going to do this? You know, we want to get married, and we did, and that all worked out. That was a miracle in and of itself, how all that panned out and came together. And then, okay, well, where are we going to live? And we found this house in Bristol's Hope. Thought it was, that was the house for us. That was the house for us. And all kinds of land and everything. And we were going to buy it, weren't we? We actually put in an offer, and it was pretty much a done deal. And next thing you know, we wanted to go see the house again because we wanted to see what we had to do with it to fix it up a little bit. And when we walked in, it just was God's will that we saw the house for how it really was. So when you're walking through the house first, everything's there. You know, the person's still living there. Furniture's all there. And everything looked wonderful. But this person had moved out and removed everything. So it was a bare bones house then at that point. And when we walked through, wow, it would have been a disaster. A disaster. There was way too much upkeep and work to do with that house to get it to where we needed to be. And we would not have known that if we had not gone back. And most people don't go back. When they go view a house, they put in an offer, and that's it. You go through the whole process of the legal things and all that kind of stuff and real estate agencies, and then you're moving in. But God opened that door. He said, Pearl and Steve, this is not the house for you. This is not the house for you. This is a money pit. And so then we came across this house here in Bay Roberts on Central Street. And when we walked through it, myself and Pearl looked at each other and said, wow. Said, this is our home, isn't it? That's what we thought. I said, this is home. It's just what we need. It's just the right size. It's just in the right location. There's not too much to do with it to get ready for, let me say that again, 9 people. Can I say that again? 9 people. A couple of dogs and a few cats and a couple of fish and a few reptiles. Just a small crowd. We call ourselves the clan, though. But it's a miracle. A pack. There you go. Depends how you look at it. But that is God. That's another miracle. It's a God's miracle in so many, so many ways. And so we bought the house, and we're working towards getting in there. And that kind of thing. A lot of challenges along the way, trying to figure out which way to go with certain things and all that. But God is good. Myself, Pearl, I've struggled, I think, personally. That's a testimony. Personally, I struggle, I think, more in my faith than Pearl ever does. Pearl's very strong in her faith. And when I was weak or saying, I don't know if this is going to happen, that's impossible. And Pearl would say, it's in God's hands. It's in God's hands. What are you worried about? It's going to happen. And I'd question it. So that's why God gave me Pearl to help me in my faith as well. So there's all kinds of miracles, and there's many more that I could say, but I just suffice it to say it's a testimony that God is good. And, the reality is when we feel that God is not there, or God's not at the helm, or you're struggling with your faith on the future. Now, how many here have struggled in their faith at some point in their experience? I'm sure if I were to ask you to raise your hands, I'm going to tell you, you're going to raise your hands, because there are a point in times where you struggle with your faith, whatever that is. Might be a little bit, might be a lot. But Jesus gives us good gifts every single day. And that's a key to cementing your faith in God. When you wake up in the morning, do you thank God? Like right away when you wake up, say, God, thank you for another day. Thank you for another day of life. Thank you for keeping me safe. Thank you for, being with my family throughout the night. I remember my grandmother on my father's side, my father's mother, and she used to tell me that. And she wasn't Adventist. She was Catholic, but she used to say when I was young, probably 8 or 9 or 10 years old, she goes, Stephen, listen, I don't know how much you believe in God, I said, but one thing I really encourage you to do throughout your life, when you go to bed at night, thank God for his providence in your life, for his watch care over you during that day. Thank God that he's going to keep you throughout the night. And when you wake up in the morning, thank God that he kept you through the night. And for the blessings that are going to come your way for that day. And I never forgot it. Never forgot it, because no matter what we go through, you know, God is good. God is good. And I don't know. I just realized right then and there as a child, really, that, you know, my grandmother was telling me something that was very important. And I didn't always do it, but it never, ever left me. Listen to this one, Matthew 7:11. If ye then, being evil or sinful, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts, good things to them that ask him? A lot of times we don't ask. We don't ask because, well, it's too much of a burden. I'm not going to ask God for whatever. It's such, you know, he's got too much on his plate. You know, he's got too much going on. He's not going to listen to little old me in this little old speck of this earth and the entire universe. You know, that's not true, though. It's not true. He's there for you. Christ Jesus gives us good gifts every single day. The best gift he has ever given us is the opportunity to live for eternity with our Savior. Christ died, but more than that, Christ was raised to life. Because you often hear about the crucifixion of Jesus and his death, that he died for all sins of the world, and through his death he gave everyone an opportunity to be saved. That's called justification, by the way. But you can't leave it there. You can't leave it there. Because Jesus is not in the grave. We don't serve a dead Savior. He was raised to life, and he's now sitting at the right hand of his Father, interceding on our behalf in the heavenly sanctuary. That's the work that's going on right now as we speak. He is up there securing your future, securing my future. God is good. He does good things and gives good things to his children. Now listen to this text, and we're going to go back to Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. Skip ahead to 32. 35 to 36. And here's a good one. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So, can anyone in this world separate you from Christ? Is it possible? It is possible. It is possible. If you turn away from Christ. If you focus on things that are not of Christ, or you go towards the direction of people who are pulling you away from Christ, then you can be separated from him by that choice. So let me read it again. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. So what Paul is saying here is, you know, can all these terrible things that happen in the world separate us from God? What he's saying is that, look, we are being killed all day long. We are being persecuted all day long. We are being chased down the streets to be imprisoned and tortured and murdered all day long. And there are these beautiful people who follow Christ are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Can that separate them from God? No. Why? Because of faith. That's the only way. It's because of faith. Here Paul says that without a doubt, Christians are not exempt from difficulties. And we can all say that. I say this almost every time up front doing a sermon. Who here has not faced a difficulty in their life? Everyone has. But because God is good, so faithful, so believable, and we can have faith in him, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Sickness has invaded your life. Have faith in God the healer. Your family relationships disrupted? Do you have problems within your family? Nothing can separate you from what he wants for your life. Bad job situation? God can make it great. Whatever situation you're going through, he can do wonderful things for you. Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's the key, isn't it? We're conquerors because Christ loved us, loves us. Present tense. How are you more than a conqueror? Because you serve a good God. No such thing as a bad God. Faith sees the finished work of the cross and understands that all of God's promises are yes in Christ Jesus. Remember now, not man's promises, God's promises are all yes. If the Word of God, if you were opening up the Word of God into Proverbs or Psalms or anywhere in the Bible that a promise is given by God, is he going to renege on that promise? Can he renege on that promise? He can't. It's impossible. Because for whatever God says and put into action, that's what happens. He loves us with an everlasting life. Faith sees the finished work of the cross. Because God is good. Now here's our final text for the day. Romans 8:38 and 39. Now here is Paul. He's giving the confirmation. He's giving the conviction of God in his life. And the answer to all these perplexities, all these trials, all these things that seem to beset us in our life journey. Romans 8:38 and 39. I'm sure we could all say it off by heart together. For I am persuaded, so here Paul is persuaded. Persuaded by who? God. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. So he's covering the whole territory here, everything. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, man, woman, or child, animal, doesn't matter, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul is convinced because he exercised his faith every day. Was he perfect? No. Paul was not perfect. Let's not put him off on a pedestal and say that this guy had an advantage over us. He did not. In a lot of ways, Paul had a disadvantage over us in many ways. Let me ask these questions, or a couple of questions in closing, just to help you to think about your own personal life with God. Because I have to ask these questions to myself. How convinced are you of God's goodness in your life? Just think about it. When you go home and you have some time to yourself, just think about it. How convinced are you of God's goodness in your life? Now, convinced means persuaded. How persuaded are you of God's goodness in your life? And remember, if you can think of one positive thing that God has done for you, then God has persuaded you to see that. That is what faith is, isn't it? Being fully persuaded that God is able to keep his promises because of his goodness. Will you let the goodness of God touch you today? His goodness, and only his goodness, will cause any doubt that you may have to melt away. We're told in the spirit of prophecy that God will not remove all avenues of doubt. And you know how I know that's true? Look at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. There was a major struggle there in that garden. Our lives, our salvational lives, were being held in the balance by a thread in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we know this. We can read the story in the Bible. Christ was struggling, but then guess who he looked towards, no matter what he was struggling with? His Father in heaven. And he said, let it be. Let it be. His goodness will cause your doubt to melt away. Have faith in God for all your needs today. So that's my message today. It's not my message. It's God's message, because faith is the victory. And that is true. That's not our closing hymn, though. But faith is the victory. And I believe Jane had that last week, or a couple of weeks ago. What can I say about it other than none of us sit here in this sanctuary, or anyone watching online, they're not sitting in their homes or wherever they are watching or listening to this sermon. And what can you say in closing? What can you say? It's all about faith. And you do have faith because it's a gift from God. Even that's a gift from God. Right? So God is good. God is good all the time, right? Amen. Let's say that again. I'm going to get Celine to start that off. How's it go, Celine? God is good? All the time. There you go. And all the time? God is good. Amen. That's a good one, because if you're ever struggling if you're having doubts or faith issues, say that one. Say that one, because it's true. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for our time together. God, you are so good to us in so many miraculous ways. Help us, Father, to go to bed at night and wake up in the morning praising you for all the goodness that you have bestowed upon each and every one of us, our families and friends. Father, help us to see the goodness in everything, no matter if it's trials, tribulations, struggles, persecution, disease, loss, whatever it is, Lord, help us to see that you are good, that you are good, that you are good. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.